from the magic of modern technology. Steve will put it up, I'm sure. Thanks. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in our hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all that is all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so that men will revere him. For a start, I just want to start in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being able to meet together today. I thank you for the privilege that we can come into your presence and have direct contact with you, Lord. I thank you for what that cost. I thank you that your word is worth more than silver or gold, and yet you make it open to us. So, Lord, I commit this word to you, and I pray that it be to your glory, and that each and every person here will be blessed and receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, you probably all noticed that the seasons are changing. It's starting to get a bit colder. And now autumn is definitely on its way. Now, one of the things I love is that I love the changing seasons. Now, I've got to admit that I wish summer was a bit more dependable and a bit more definitive. But there's always something to look forward to with the seasons. And already I read this week in the paper that they're already predicting a white Christmas. Now, Scripture tells us we can know something of God through his workmanship. And I do find that in very much in the seasons. God's constant, but never static. And I can understand people's thoughts process when they say, you know, how can there be a God when there's so much suffering? I understand that, but I cannot understand anybody's thought process that believes that nature is some sort of random act. I just don't understand that thought process at all, and they must have much more faith than I have. Now, for me, autumn always feels like the start of a new year, particularly in church. And we've already seen the groups are restarting now. And for us, it's very much the start of something new here. John Keats describes autumn as the season of mist and mellow fruitfulness. Six words, they paint such a beautiful image of what autumn means to most of us, and certainly to me. Now, fruit is mentioned many places, many times in the Bible, and it's often symbolic. It talks of that which is produced, that which is given out or displayed, in the same way a tree would produce and display its fruit. So it talks about what a person may give out and display, their actions and their behaviours, what they do and what they produce and the consequences of that action. Similarly, it's used when describing disaster or ruination. Joel 1 verses 12 says this, the vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. Now, whether It may be good or bad, of good use or no use. Fruit is used a lot to paint a picture in the Bible. And Jesus gives us this stark warning of the consequences of not producing good fruit. In Matthew 3, verses 10, he warns the Pharisees, "The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And he goes on in chapter 21, verse 19, to demonstrate this. When he finding no fruit on the fig tree, he condemns it and causes it to immediately wither. Again, it's a picture of judgment for us. Now, Marie and I have recently been invited to a traditional Muslim wedding. And with traditional Muslim weddings, the men and the women don't mix. So the men go into one room and the women go into the other so they can't see each other, so they can take the veils off to eat. Now, Marie's going, but she's decided that it might not be a good idea for me to sit in a room full of Muslim men telling them that they're all wrong. So she's turned my invitation down on my behalf. But it has made me think, how would you be able to tell who's right and who's wrong? Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 6 and 17. "By their fruit you will recognise them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." And it got me thinking, would you know me by my fruit? Am I a good tree bearing good fruit? If I went to that Muslim wedding, would they know? And on a good day, I'd say possibly yes. But far too often, no. And I had far too many bad days. So my challenge is to produce fruit in keeping with the Holy Spirit. But what does that look like? A tree is instantly recognised by its fruit. You may not know the difference between a pear tree, an apple tree, a plum tree, but it's easy to identify once it's bearing fruit. Now, Scripture tells us the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits I would long for, but are these the fruits you could recognise me by? And again, on a good day, I could probably tick a few of these boxes. But how do I produce and display these constantly? How do I go about my everyday, day-to-day life, work, and everything else, and continuously produce fruit in keeping with the Holy Spirit? And I've got to tell you, I've tried so hard, but the answer is I just can't. But we're not on our own, and we don't do it in our own strength. As any good gardener will tell you, a good crop takes work and tendering. If we want to produce good fruit, we must press into what God has got for us. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading your Bibles and meditating on God's word. Make yourself available for God and listen to what he's got to say to you. Most of all, to produce fruit in keeping with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just once, but continually. Yes, there will be times we blow it, times when our deeds are fruitless at best. But we have a promise. And Philippians 1 verse 6 tells us this: "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." So God is not going to give up on us. His dearest wish is that we display all the characteristics of his Son. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to achieve this. That we bear fruit in keeping with who we actually are, children of God. And in the same way people could see the Father in the Son, then the people can see Jesus in us. Now, you may not always feel it, but you are becoming more Christ-like, each and every one of you. Now, there's an important reason why trees and plants bear fruit. It's the way they reproduce. It's the way they spread. It's the way they populate. The fruit attracts creatures who consume it, then they spread the fruits through the seeds. So do our fruits attract others? Do they want to consume what we have? Do they want what we bear? Now, in Home Group, we're currently studying a course on evangelism. Now, not all are called to be evangelists, but we are all called to witness. So if we want to attract others, if we want to spread, then we need to produce fruit that attracts. Scripture tells us that if we give off a sweet fragrance, pleasing to God. My wife might not always agree that I give off a sweet fragrance, but that's what Scripture says. And fruit also gives off a fragrance that attracts. The fragrance of the fruit, like a banana, is actually a gas. That gas ripens other fruits when they are placed alongside them. That is why you usually have on a fruit bowl an hanger to keep your bananas away from the rest of the fruit to stop it ripening too quickly. So as Christians, if we want to mature, then what better way to come alongside other Christians who bear fruit and give off fragrance? To become disciples, making disciples, ripening one another. Now, while I were writing this, it suddenly struck me. I'm now in the autumn of my years. If you divide my expected life into four, like the four seasons, I'm now in autumn. So this is the time I should be bearing fruit. But what struck me more than this, and actually made it quite emotional, is that everything I've been through previously, all my ups, my downs, the sun, the wind, the rain, the frost, have all been necessary to get me to this point in my life so I could bear fruit in exactly the same way as trees have to go through rain and frost and everything else to get them to bear fruit. All the work the gardener has put in to get me to this point has been for a reason. It's to get me to bear fruit. So, back to my original question. What season is it at Worksop Christian Centre? Now, my prayer is it's going to be a fruitful season when we all bear fruit that attracts and helps spread God's word. When disciples make disciples who bear fruit for one another. And before we share bread and wine together, I just want to pray over this. And I want to pray over church. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here will bear fruit in keeping with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we will spread your word. That we will ripen one another. That we will produce things that attract others to come along. Lord, I pray in your name that the fruit that we bear will be seen and will bless you and bless others. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he told us, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."